Cap and J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
That's why I say
shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
shot, no shot, brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse and register your account. Danny, our boy Kaplan. Dan Filato texted me. So when GN lost the games to MAQ, one of the things that the Bears wanted in the deal, Michael McCaskey wanted to be the fill-in or replacement for Milt Rosenberg. How about that? He wanted to be on the air.
All right.
The owner wanted his own radio show.
While we're reading texts, the great Tom Waddle, America's sweetheart, has checked in. He texted me, at the beginning of the season, every NFL team gets a check from the NFL, thanks to the TV broadcasting rights, for $321
million. That's so much money.
So if you think not showing up to Soldier Field is going to have an effect on the Bears team and the ownership group, think again. $321 million just for showing up.
So much money.
There's more money coming because Amazon's going to buy a deal, and then ESPN Plus is trying to sign a deal to get Sunday Ticket.
All that, plus Soldier Field's got one of the smallest capacities
correct
in the NFL.
So they'll go build themselves a palace, and then they'll have the $321, then they'll have the Amazon money, then they'll have the DirecTV goes
and the sports book. And the sports book they'll build.
They'll build the sports book partnered with Bet
Rivers. Parking structures, probably a mediocre restaurant.
Overpriced mediocre.
You know the apps are going to be good, but
they're
way overpriced, and then the entrees is being
making money. We're infected, folks.
There's only 9 or 10 home games, anyways, right? Like, so you got to say to yourself, the gate can't mean that much. It's not like baseball where there's 81 home games.
Well, and that's why they want Arlington Heights, because there's so much more ancillary possibilities to generate revenue.
Yeah, you have the retractable roof dome, and you go, guess what? Pearl Jam's playing at the new Bears Stadium, Halas Field, or whatever they're going to call it.
Maybe get an ice rink out there, you know, family-friendly fun. You know, you get a little playground out there for when it's nice, all that kind of stuff.
That'll
cost you $9.
Yeah,
sure, of course.
Isn't that what they call it?
Christ's Kindle Market. Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
Christ.
And lo, the Lord started Christ's Kindle Market.
That'll get me to Arlington Heights.
That's what the three wise men delivered. It was Christ's Kindle Market. That's where they shopped.
They're going to make so much money, it's not even funny. And they don't get out of their own way on the football side. They don't know what they're doing. Again, Ryan has underperformed, hasn't delivered, deserves to lose his job. I get it. Same with Matt. Bring the next two guys in here. Bring the next two in. Like the late Don Zimmer said, he was manager of the year in 89. He got fired like June of 91. And he goes, yeah, I got dumber over the last 2 years. Or maybe I work for an incompetent organization. The Tribune.
All of that's right. I just can't stop thinking, if you're looking for a place to get your sins forgiven, go to Christ's Kindle Market. You'll find low, low rates. The lowest in the land.
Do you know what I got given to me by a friend? I have it on my phone. I'll show it to you at break. I'm going to read it. The letter Greg Maddux wrote to the head of the Tribune company that he doesn't want to leave.
Yeah.
I have his letter. The height of incompetence.
You're going to print it.
I should. Tweet that out.
You should.
Put that sucker on Twitter. It's unbelievable. Danny.
All right, gentlemen. To the shot or no shot portion of shot or no shot we've been discussing all morning. Is Matt Nagy fired? Is he not fired? Will he be in here next year? Will he not be here next year? I ask you guys simply, shot or no shot, if and when Matt Nagy is fired, your Chicago Bears will ask Justin Fields for his input on the hiring of his next head coach.
That's a shot. That is a shot. Now, again, I don't think Justin should be making the hire. He's a 22-year-old kid. But if you're going to talk to Ryan Day or you're going to talk to Brian Daboll or Greg Roman, whoever it is, maybe Tom Waddle's going to be the next coach.
Should be, yeah.
He should be the next president of the Chicago Bears.
Absolutely.
No, seriously.
I don't disagree with you. Tommy would be outstanding.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
I would put a triumvirate together of, like, Olin, Tommy, Gary Fensick, put those guys up there and let them hire the next person.
I'm in for that. Yeah, it's a shot. Justin Fields will have input about his next head coach. How much that's considered is going to be up to whomever is making that decision, right?
Correct.
But you want everything Justin has to say about every one of those head coaches that gets considered on record. I mean, you want to hear all of his thoughts on everybody.
Correct.
And then whether you consider it is up to you. But 100% he's going
to
have it.
You'd be so bears to go, yeah, we just hired that guy. He doesn't believe in moving the pocket, throwing screen.
Or he's got a bad relationship with Justin from his recruiting in college.
Right.
You know,
did
stuff
you know
like
that.
You can't have that.
Knew Justin and Justin hates him.
Right.
Right.
You can't have that stuff.
Cannot
you got to know everything he thinks about that head coach, and then you consider it however you want to consider it. But he'll absolutely have input.
Danny.
So we all agree Matt Nagy's days are numbered, whether it happens today, tomorrow, Friday. We know his days are numbered. That means the rebuild of your Chicago Bears will begin. That being said, Bears pass rusher Khalil Mack has been placed on IR with a foot injury. He's going to undergo season-ending surgery. He hasn't played since week 7. He is done for the season. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, we've seen Khalil Mack's final game in a Bears uniform.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot because with the foot surgery, you're going to get less in trade than he's worth to you. I mean, if someone calls and says, hey, how about a 1 and a 2? Yeah, sign me up. Let's go. But that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I've got no shot. What's Spatrak say about his contract status?
I believe it's $22 million. And Bill Barnwell?
Spotrak.
Sputrick. Sputrick? I think that's it.
Spotrak.
I think that's it. That's it. That's the one. Yeah, Spotrak. No, it's a huge contract. You're not moving that.
Bill Barnwell, the great Bill Barnwell, ESPN.com, wrote in his recent piece where he talks about what the worst teams need to do going forward. He suggested Khalil Mack could be on his way out.
Well, I just love that we're just scooting right through the whole idea that Bill Barnwell has the Bears right at the top of the list for what the worst teams in the NFL need to
are
do.
Are they not that's one of the worst so teams in the NFL?
Well, they need to move on from him, no doubt. I mean, if that's where you're headed, I get it. But that, that's a lot of money.
Like, Danny, let me ask you a question. If you got a phone call, you're this rising programming whiz. You got a good job here, but, you know, you want to keep your career growing. And you knew there was a radio company that was the most mismanaged, dysfunctional, awful organization. Hmm. But they have this heritage brand. Hey, you want to come over and do programming for us? We'll pay you some good money. But in like 4 years, you're going to go, freaking ratings haven't moved. People are going to go, Zetterman doesn't know what he's doing. No, actually, he does know what he's doing. It's an incompetent group. Would you go?
No. I mean, if they gave me life-changing money, if they're throwing at me millions and millions of dollars a year and I can set my family up for life.
You're making great money and they're going to pay you great money.
No.
Why would you leave Ryan Day?
Then I wouldn't go.
But that's almost every head coaching job of the NFL, right? You're going to get somebody who's willing to take that job because there's only 30
of them. But I don't want to shop at the bottom of the basement, like at Filene's basement. I don't know if that's still a thing.
Filene's? Yeah. I'm not sure.
I don't want to go to Nordstrom Rack. I'd rather go to Nordstrom.
Well, but that's the thing, too, right? Like, if you have these jobs, you have 32 of these jobs in this league. Not every one of them is going to get head coaching material A, right?
But you're the Bears.
Right. And what have you gotten out of your head coaching material the last 3-4 hires?
Go back through them. John Fox was on his last legs.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you want to say.
I didn't want to be here. He didn't want to be here.
Cash one more time. Quality football coach. It was done. Matt had never been a head coach. Had been an OC for what, Danny? 5 weeks? 5 games?
Yeah, not even. Four and a half.
Play caller for, that's right.
Four and a half games.
Lovey had never been a head coach.
That's right.
Dick Geron had never been a head coach.
Correct.
Wani had never been a head coach.
You're forgetting one head coach. Mark Trestman.
Trestman was a clown show. You had Bruce Arians in the building. But guess what? Kangol Kapp drinking his Crown Royal. Nah, that doesn't kind of fit with us. We'll go with the guy with the professorial look who sucked. Who's a joke.
Who had been a head coach, albeit in the Canadian football
league. Won a championship, boys.
You're damn right.
And the one time they really, really had someone who didn't look like he fit in the foursome, he's just irascible and feisty and tough. Mike Ditka. Well, guess what? It worked. He was a Bear. He understood restoring the pride.
Lovey worked. Lovey's a good head coaching hire.
Lovey was.
Lovey's a good head coaching hire.
But they also had a general manager back then who hit on a lot of draft picks. And then, in typical Bears fashion, oh, by the way, it was George's decision. let's fire the GM, but don't let him fire the coach. And then a year later, we'll fire the coach.
That's right. And then that particular decision has snowballed into what you have now.
Correct.
Right? Because that begets Nagy and that begets Pace, rather, and you just keep going and going and going.
You go Emery, Trestman,
Pace. They're constantly trying to fix their last mistake while creating their next. That is the constant state of the Bears.
That's it.
Trying to fix the last thing they screwed up while screwing up the next thing.
Like, I would try, if I owned that, if they said, hey, you're going to run it now. Okay, who is the single best guy for that job? And let's put a whiteboard. Let's write a bunch of names down and go, that guy, no, that, what about, that's the guy. How much? I don't care.
Hire Lewis Riddick and let it roll.
I don't know. Why is he not in the league then?
Because
he's on TV?
Just because you can speak about football really well on a broadcast doesn't mean you can build a team.
Well, then pick another guy.
I want a guy who's proven it.
Point of the matter is,
go get bait football Theo. That guy.
I don't know if football Theo wants this job.
How much do you want? You want me to come there? It's X.
Does football Theo trust that his decisions are going to be final? Does football Theo trust that
that goes in the contract? Not, I'm looking at you as a man, I'm shaking your hand. Right. Yeah, Connor, I'm going to stay out of the way.
Okay, so no. But wait. Football Theo doesn't exist. The reason, because you'd have a name. The closest thing to football Theo is Bill Belichick, because he runs the organization.
Yeah, he ain't going anywhere.
So, like, that's the problem, is GMs and coaches, they're so intertwined, but they're different jobs. And you need somebody who works, you know, in concert with the guy well. That's the truth of the matter. And you need both of them to do their job well. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as simple as just, like, in a perfect world, yes, find football Theo. But I don't know if football Theo actually exists.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I would have to sit down with people I trust. Go, all right, tell me about this guy. Tell me about that guy.
But you didn't have to do that for Theo. You knew who he was. I'm saying that's why he doesn't. It's not as simple as just hire football Theo. We all know, yes, nobody can identify football Theo, though. The key with Theo was everybody knew Theo was a great GM when he became available.
Yeah, there has to be a guy like John Schneider up in Seattle. Has done a magnificent job running that franchise.
You want Les Snead, something like that coming in?
Go steal somebody else's guy and then go, in your contract, you control roster, you control salary cap, you control everything. I cannot buy the letter of the contract. And oh, by the way, I'm going to pay you $10 million a year.
Are they willing to do that? You know, is Bears ownership, are the Cassie's willing to do that? Are they willing to say goodbye to the way they've done business?
They have a $4 billion asset. $4 billion plus.
Oh, yeah. It's more than $4 billion,
by the way. You put that thing on the market, it's going north of $4 billion.
Absolutely.
Sell it, George. Get out. You won't believe what Matt Judon of the Patriots isn't a fan of as we talk Bears with you and more next.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
So, Connor's in for Hoodie. Thanksgiving is tomorrow. This is what we're dealing with.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Enough. Enough of the idiocy. Enough of the awfulness. Just admit, if you're a Bear fan, you're infected. You got a disease that there is no known cure for.
The cowbell. But other than that, nothing.
I mean, oh, God. I mean, literally, Matt Nagy woke up yesterday and people hated him. They're booing him at his kid's game. They're booing him at the Bulls game. Fire Nagy chants are everywhere. He went to bed last night, and the fan base actually has empathy for him.
Sylvie tweeted it out last night as I was reading Brad Biggs' column, and then I put that away and then flipped over to Twitter. I saw Sylvie's tweet about how they've made Matt Nagy a sympathetic human, and he is. I feel bad for Matt Nagy right now.
Right.
I feel bad for the way this is handled for him. I feel bad for the fact that his kid had to listen to chants about his dad, all that kind of stuff. I feel bad for the guy. Do I think he should be a head football coach because I feel bad for him? No, that doesn't matter. Not one bit.
Look, there's going to be no tag days for him. None. He's going to have plenty of money for the rest of his life. He makes, I don't know, $5 million, $6 million a year. He's on a five-year deal. I mean,
I'm not an idiot.
And that's what he would tell you. I'm not an idiot. I am not an idiot.
I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot.
In the end, he'll go get another job somewhere. He'll decompress with his family. He'll count his money.
Yeah.
He will be back in the league. He will get another opportunity to be maybe an assistant.
Yeah, it won't be a head coaching spot his next
job. He may
job.
Get another chance someday.
Yeah, maybe at some point. He's a young man in terms of, you know, NFL coaches.
I'm predicting it now. He's going to slot right into Eric Bieniemy's spot when he gets a head coaching job. He'll be right next to Andy Reid on the sidelines within the next 2 years.
I wouldn't mind Eric Bieniemy as a head coach.
Whoa, boy. You can't.
I'm not an idiot.
They can't do that back to back.
You can't do that.
Chiefs.
I do not want anybody coaching this team next who has not been a head coach somewhere. And I'm not talking about a high school.
So I differ from that. But I don't think you can do the Bieniemy Nagy tag team after Nagy just went so poorly.
No, you absolutely
because the
cannot.
Thing is, if Bieniemy doesn't work out,
but let's
you're opening you up to so much criticism that you went to back to the same exact tree.
How much more criticism do they care about? Are you kidding?
You can't do it.
This is they've taken on everything. The boat is underwater.
You can't do it.
They've taken on criticism for everything. If there's one thing you know, it's that they don't care about what you think they can't do.
Well, maybe not them, but Ryan Pace. Is he making the next hire or is he gone?
I think he's going to have a role in the organization. I don't think he's making the next hire. I think he'll be part of the process that hires the next GM.
This does not help Ryan Pace's situation. How was Ryan Pace completely silent over the last 24 hours?
Because he's not getting fired.
Wait a minute. He's always silent. He talks twice a year. He talks at the draft, and he talks right before the season starts. Other than that, he's always silent. So he can just say, hey, this is normal operating procedure, guys.
Now you forgot one. Don't forget the season wrap-up.
Oh, yeah, the season wrap-up.
And then he would always
Collaboration Fest. Yes. 22.
And he came on with us at training camp. Said nothing, but he came on. Now that we don't get to go to training camp, maybe post-COVID we will again. That was it.
No, we're never going to training camp now that they do it at House Hall. We're never going.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not going to be that trip.
Oh, no, never.
No, not that trip. Not anymore.
So, again, Sophie's right. Matt has become, and again, he's the nicest guy in the world, but I don't care if you're a lousy, lousy guy to deal with, if you're a damn good football coach. I get both. That would be amazing.
There are certain lines in the NFL where once you cross them, you don't get the job again, right? Like, my opinion, Ryan Pace drafted Mitch Trubisky. You missed on your quarterback pick.
Correct.
You missed on your head coaching pick. I think that does it for you. That didn't. He was allowed to stay around. And because the draft fell the way it did, he got Justin Fields.
Okay, so let's go back to the Trubisky pick.
Sure.
And it shows you how incompetent the organization is. Ryan can't tell John Fox because he doesn't trust John because John wasn't the guy he wanted to be the head football coach.
You could stop there and you've already got a dysfunctional NFL franchise, but I know there's more.
Correct. And so John told, I was standing with Danny and Ryan McGuffey, right, Danny?
Yep.
At Waddle's house. And John Fox says, let me go fill my glass up with more vodka and you guys can ask me anything you want. When did you find out Trubisky was going to be the Bears quarterback or draft pick? What did he say? 2 hours before the draft, Ryan came to him and said, by the way, I made a trade. We're getting Mitch Trubisky at 2. That's how your head coach found out.
Woo.
And this wasn't like a first year OC you promoted.
It's John Fox.
2 times in the Super Bowl. Like a quality guy. He found out 2 hours later because they were afraid he would try to short circuit it by blabbing it to other guys in the league, and Cleveland liked Mitch, and there were a couple others.
It's a good way to start your relationship.
Correct.
Great way to start your run.
So that's what festered under George and Ted, that there's no collaboration, their word. So that you miss on the pick. Oh, it might be a novel concept to go, why don't we have a meeting? We got a 2-time to the Super Bowl coach. You're the GM. You like him. Why don't we all break the tapes down together? Why don't we go, you know what? Fly all three of them in here, and let's all work them out together. Nope.
Probably not a bad idea to at least ask John Fox what he thought of that other guy, Deshaun Watson. In the draft.
That's who he liked.
To say nothing, like, listen, what happens after with Deshaun is what happens after, right?
Correct.
I mean, that's, but you're not even bringing that guy in to take a look, to have a workout, to have a chat?
That's how effed up the organization is. Incompetence started at the top.
Yeah.
Because if I was the owner and my GM came to me and said, hey, man, I'm drafting Danny Zetterman with the second pick. I'm trading up from 3 to 2 to guarantee we get him. Hold on a second. What about the Mahomes kid? What about the Watson kid? Do we not want to take a quarterback here and maybe get Jamal Adams, who was their other guy on their board?
That's right.
Or in their cloud, as they like to call it? No, I'm locked in on Mitch. What does Coach Fox say? I'm not telling him.
Well, so this is
the whole process.
This goes back to the idea.
And then Ryan blows the pick.
Of bringing Football Theo in, right? Like this idea that you can find this one guy, right? This one weird trick at the bottom of the website that fixes your football franchise. I don't think it exists, A. But even if you are going to hire, if the Bears are going to hire someone to do that job, right? They're going to hire someone that has the autonomy to make those decisions. Does that person, qualified as he or she feels they are for that job, do they believe that they're going to get treated the way they need to be treated to make those decisions? Or are they going to be treated like John Fox was?
Do you know that Sean Payton told Ryan Pace, this is fact, told Ryan, Ryan is in Hallis Hall. He talks to George. He calls Sean. He doesn't make a move without Sean. Sean says, do not take that job. Do not go to the Bears.
I was unaware.
It is an incompetent franchise. We'll pay you more money. Come back here. You'll get another gig somewhere else.
And this is,
don't go.
This is what I'm saying. How does anyone who's got the qualifications that Bears fans want to make decisions for their franchise, to make decisions around Justin Fields, the team on the field, the infrastructure around it, how does anybody that kind of qualified not have the same intel that you've got about where this franchise is at? About what this process looks like.
It's bad. It's bad. And again, Ryan has, he's got to live on his record, man. Kevin White, Mitch Trubisky, those are on him. The record is what the record is, and that's on him. And he'll look back someday and go, God, I had that my golden opportunity,
yep,
and it didn't work.
Yep.
That's on him. Same with Matt. But just don't think by sweeping those two guys out and getting two new guys in here, in 5 years, we'll all be screaming their boobs too, because the two guys above them are the two dumbest sports executives in the country. The worst. All right, we got to switch up because tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
Oh, looking forward to it too. That's the holiday of holidays for me. Thanksgiving, man.
And we're going to get to, like, what's your favorite thing on the plate? Like, Danny, do you ever cheat at all? Ever? Like, on Thanksgiving, is there...
On food, not your wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Just want to clarify, because...
Like, Mellor, you're in good shape. You're in great shape. Like, is there something on your plate? Think about it. We'll get to that after 8:30. I want to ask you guys, is there something you're looking forward to on that plate that you only have once a year?
Yeah.
Because there is something I only have once a year that will be on my plate on Thanksgiving after the Bear game that I can't wait to eat. Let's go to Keith in Hyde Park. Hey, Keith, what's up, man?
Okay, fellas, first of all, I don't want Matt Nagy fired. First of all, the two guys up over him, the three guys, Ryan Pace, George, and the other guy, his name don't even matter right at this point. Those guys need to be swept out. Matt Nagy, let him stay so we can have someone for the butt of our jokes on Friday.
All right, Keith. Thank you. Appreciate it. No, we don't need a coach to have so we can make more jokes.
No.
I want to win.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of being, you know, 8-8 and just kind of thinking it's okay. I'm good on that. You've got the guy, you've got the franchise quarterback. And to say nothing of the fact that, like, yeah, he could be great, he might be bad, whatever it is. You win with good quarterbacks on rookie deals in the NFL.
No question.
That's the easiest way to win.
1 year of it.
That's the easiest way to win in the NFL in terms of infrastructure. Easiest thing to do is win with a good quarterback on a rookie deal. You can't waste this. And they're already a year into wasting this.
Correct.
One full season thrown down the tubes.
Correct.
312-332-3776. We are going to talk a little bit of Thanksgiving. It's all coming up next.
This is Kath and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
By the way, Danny, one team since the start of the 2020 season has not scored 30 offensive points. Can you name them?
Your Chicago Bears.
That's incorrect. I don't remember when we did that, but we apparently did.
That would have been
the Jaguars.
Yeah. The New York Football Giants.
They had a graphic yesterday on SportsCenter when they were talking about this Matt Nagy story. Since Matt Nagy's tenure, the Bears' offense has produced less points than the Jets and the Jaguars.
Since Matt got hired?
Since Matt got here. His offenses have produced less points than the Jets' offense and the Jaguars' offense. Those are the two worst teams.
And he had a 12-4 record in there.
Correct.
Wait, 30 was the number?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bears haven't scored 30 this year.
Not this year, since 2020.
Oh, since 2020.
I don't remember who we scored 30 against, but it must have been like Deerfield High School.
I don't remember a lot of 2020, so yeah, I get you.
So there you go. Matt Judon of the Patriots was discussing Thanksgiving, and there is a particular food he is not a fan of.
I'm going to tell you, we got to get macaroni and cheese off the table. All right, guys. It's just cheese and noodles. All right, I'm getting on my soap opera. It's just cheese and noodles, and it's not that good. Get a macaroni and cheese off the table, and it'd be a much better Thanksgiving for everybody in the house. Yeah, I have never liked macaroni and cheese. And you know how they say, like, oh, your taste buds change every 7 years. You just got to... Every time I try it, it's the same thing. And it's never going to change, and it's never going to get better. If you want to have a good Thanksgiving, don't cook macaroni and cheese.
He is so right. Like, I never was a fan of that as a kid.
You didn't like mac and cheese as a kid?
Never.
Well, you didn't like mac and cheese as a kid?
Nope.
You didn't like mac and cheese as a kid?
Nope.
What child doesn't like mac and cheese?
This guy.
How is that possible? Who hurt you? What? How? It's mac and cheese.
It's the worst.
No. Everybody likes... Look, Judon's got a point. Mac and cheese should not be on the Thanksgiving table. It's
agreed.
A layup. Don't take layups on Thanksgiving.
But I don't like it at all.
I disagree with both of you, but
don't
go ahead.
Don't take layups
your point.
On Thanksgiving. But how, as a small child, whose taste buds consist of, does it have cheese or does it have sugar... Did you not like mac and cheese?
Don't like it.
Oh, my Lord. Like, even the box stuff, the good stuff, the craft stuff with the
worst.
Shapes?
Worst.
You didn't grow up with it. Did you have shapes? When did we start shapes? Was it Ninja Turtles where we started craft shapes?
Cap definitely
no,
didn't have
I,
shapes.
Wait, no, I know. But the shapes are so much better.
Like, I have to believe, Connor, that the shapes predate even our birth.
Do you think
there
so?
There was a point in the 70s, I think they
like
discovered
Scooby-Doo,
shape
probably
noodles.
Shapes.
I have to believe
and
that.
And you got to know, like, you know that the shapes are better, right? The shapes are better than the actual mac and cheese because the surface to area ratio of a shaped noodle like a Ninja Turtle or a Scooby-Doo
allows
for more cheese sauce on the noodle. Therefore, the ratio on the bite is better. Everybody knows this. I don't have to tell you this over again. How do you not like mac and cheese, period?
Don't like it. Like we've
When's the last time you had mac and cheese, though, Kat?
A few months ago, we went to eat. We were out of town, and we went to a steakhouse, and they had, like, lobster mac and
there
cheese.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like lobster, first of all.
What? That's...
My wife loves lobster. My kids love lobster. I'll eat crab legs. I don't... There's something about lobster I just don't enjoy.
Lobster's the finest.
Maybe because
food.
It's the cousin of a cockroach. Maybe. That's just what I'm saying.
Hey, you don't want to know what the cousins of the rest of stuff you eat are. Nothing you eat
well,
has a cousin.
I know what the cousins of everything
nothing,
are.
Nothing you eat has cousins. Everything you eat is just a straight up chemical from a lab.
I'm not a fan of mac and cheese, lobster mac and cheese. You could literally pick my favorite food and put it in mac and cheese and I wouldn't like it.
I'm just not a... listen.
What if it had weed in it?
I'm in.
Truffle baked marijuana mac and
cheese. That's like getting ahead of the munchies, right?
I heard of something the other day. So, someone
that's just
asked,
good planning.
I was listening to a podcast and someone said they were going to make their turkey with edible butter. Edibutter, she called it. So like she was
so
basting
the butter has weed in it?
Correct.
That doesn't cook off at some point? That's not like an alcohol. You throw it in with the mushrooms or whatever and the alcohol cooks off. I feel like that'd be so expensive.
But do you have to have two turkeys? And if you have kids at your Thanksgiving, like turkey A is for the children, turkey B is for the adults. But what if you confuse them?
It brings
very,
a whole new,
very dangerous.
Brings a whole new meaning to the kids' table, doesn't it?
Yes.
See, that's not even eating the same foods
Mellor
anymore.
Would sit at the kids' table.
I have to say, I feel like this is a personal affront by Matthew Judon, who actually, he's one of my favorite players to watch. He's just unbelievable off the edge. It's like a perfect match in New England where Belichick can really take his capabilities and use them to their fullest. But it hurt. It cut deep when he said that mac and cheese does not belong on the Thanksgiving Day's table. I'll tell you what. Yeah, like... Yeah, I don't need Kraft mac and cheese. I don't want Velveeta shells and cheese on my table. But if we're going to actually do this and do this right, I'm talking about baked mac and cheese with a nice, like a panko bread crumble on top.
Sure.
Listen, done correctly, one of my favorite things on the table on Thanksgiving. Now, you can't just throw, it can't be done in 10 minutes. We gotta go through the process. So I understand if whoever's doing the Thanksgiving cooking is like, I can't do the full mac and cheese, so I'm not going to do both. What I suggest is you put somebody as the designated mac and cheese cooker. It's their job. That's what I take up on Thanksgiving. The wife will do the turkey. Cap, you haven't had a good mac and cheese. We don't need to pair it with lobster. If you don't like lobster, you shouldn't pair it with something that you're also kind of on the fence about. That's not going to necessarily make it better. But if we just give you a good mac and cheese, maybe we can change your mind.
No, I don't like the consistency. I don't like the cheesiness. And I like cheese, just not the hot cheese. No. Pass.
I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that happens.
I really don't understand. Pass. I don't understand.
I mean, Cap has had a lot of bad takes. This could be the worst take you've ever had.
I don't get Judon saying there's no room for it on the table. Like, Thanksgiving, put anything on the table. If you don't want to eat it, don't eat it. But to say take it off the table, that I think is a ridiculous statement. When I have a Thanksgiving, I don't care what you want to eat. Bring it to the table. Eat whatever you want.
So here's where I think Judon might be heading. And the key to a good Thanksgiving is having the right amount of food for the plate. Not necessarily the table, because I think you're right, Danny. You put anything you want on the table. But you got to be able to walk back from that buffet or the kitchen or whatever with the proper amount on the plate.
Wait,
right?
You can always go back for more.
So you can, but you want that first good plate. The first plate is the one that you're taking down and you're the happiest
most
about.
Most important plate
that
of the,
plate
of the
is
dinner.
Huge. It's the first plate is the breakfast of meals, right? It starts your whole afternoon. You don't have a good, listen, you want to talk about trickle-down effect and how it affected the Bears, right? You get John Fox, but Pace didn't like him, all that kind of stuff. You don't have a good leftover sandwich. You don't have the best leftover sandwich you can have if you don't have a good first plate.
Okay, let me just give you this. I don't like turkey.
That's fine. I got no problem with that.
Not a huge turkey guy.
A lot of people don't like turkey.
It's dry. It's chewy. And my wife makes it.
If it's done right, it's not dry and chewy.
Right.
You do.
But
there are people
difficult listening
to us right now that were smart and they put their bird in the brine last night.
Yep.
It's brining all day today.
You put it in Nesco.
Yes. They're going to take it out tomorrow, yep, and it is going to be magnificent.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, my wife makes everyone at the table, and I'll eat some of it. Hers is juicy. It's just not. For me, I'm not a huge turkey guy.
We also make
a beef tenderloin. I will have that.
That's what's up.
The one thing that is on my plate guaranteed one time a year, mashed potatoes, niblet corn. Like she buys.
What's niblet corn?
You know, the corn. Like corn
out of
on
a
the
can?
Cob. Not out of the can.
Well, then it's corn. You're having corn.
But it's just the. She's cutting it off the cob. She cuts it off the cob.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought niblet was like a style of corn or something. I've never heard niblet.
The
corn kernels.
The corn kernels. So I have that on top of the mashed potatoes.
Sure. Kind of like a famous bowl.
With some gravy on it.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
That's what's up.
And then my late mother had a recipe for. She took slices of pineapple, like take a fresh pineapple,
yeah,
let it ripen up,
yeah,
slice it up, she would take the rind off.
Yeah, you get the
and it would then put in Jell-O. Pineapple Jell-O.
Okay.
Was amazing.
All right, I can get on board with that.
Amazing.
I can get on board with that.
My wife makes something with grapes she calls green goop, but it's ridiculous.
Tasty. Yeah, tons of sugar. Just throw that in there. Yeah,
it's and then, like, she's, like, apple pie's fine. I'll eat apple pie. Fine. It's not my favorite. My favorite's cherry pie. But where are you getting cherries now?
Yeah, it costs you an arm and a leg.
My second favorite is blueberry pie.
Oh, that's also very expensive.
Blueberries are in season, though. You can get some blueberries.
So are they good to go?
Oh, good. Blueberries good now.
I was at Costco yesterday. I went into Costco, and I bought three big things of blueberries. Went in that freezing room that they have.
Oh, I know the room.
So cold. And I'm in there, and I'm in shorts, and I'm like, whoa, there's the big, I mean, Danny, big-ass blueberries. Brought three containers of them home. I always said, you get the blueberries, I'll make you the pie.
That's heaven. That's what
so
it
I'll
is.
So I'll have a slice of that.
Blueberries the size of a quarter.
And some beef tenderloin. That's about it. I'm not a stuffing guy at all.
At what point would a blueberry be too big where you would be hesitant to eat it?
Doesn't exist.
Really?
Exactly.
If I gave you like an apple-sized or an orange-sized blueberry, you would take a bite out of it?
The limit does not exist. I'm in.
I'm with Connor.
I love blueberries. I think there's a point, though, where it's like it's a little bit too, it's intimidating.
No, it gets to a size where you can't help but say, yeah, I got to try that. Now it just looks weird and
like
I got to try it.
If it's like the size of my thumb.
Sold.
If you told me it's the size of my fist, it's so intriguing to me that still I got to try it.
You're a basketball-sized blueberry. I'm like, yeah, I got to get in on that.
I got to
see what's up there.
With two hands, you'd have to eat a basketball-sized blueberry?
Probably
I don't know, man.
Basketball-sized blueberry, you're like, well, now everything, it's on the clothes.
Like, that's almost like a pumpkin. Like, you're eating like a pumpkin.
I got to take this shirt off probably, and put on like a crappy t-shirt. Now let me
put a smock on just to eat the blueberry.
I've got to eat this shirtless. It's the only way to keep myself. I can hop in the shower after I eat this basketball-sized blueberry.
When you were kids, did anybody else have, like, you'd go over to your friend's house or something like that, and you had the friends that had to eat with their shirt off because they were too messy? A kid. Did anybody else have friends like that in the neighborhood?
Like
I had a friend like that in the neighborhood. I thought I was the only one.
I went to dinner with another couple, and he put
guys taking his shirt off eating dinner.
We're in a nice restaurant. We're at Chicago Cut.
What? You're David Kaplan.
He puts his napkin in his like collar, and I'm like, okay, dude.
Yeah,
really?
That's what's he eating? Is he eating ribs?
No, he was eating a steak.
Yeah, it's
when I was a little kid. My grandparents lived in Florida, right? And we'd go to Miami for Christmas to visit them. And one night, my grandparents took us to dinner with their friends at this nice steakhouse.
Sure.
And my grandma's friend went in her purse and pulled out a bib. A bib. It was a gold bib. And I was so embarrassed. I remember being like 13 years old. I was humiliated. I was like, please, Grandma, don't ever do that. Please don't ever put a bib on a grown woman.
I feel like the only way you need to put a bib on is when you go to a restaurant that supplies you a bib. You should not be bringing your own bib.
Like ribs. If our guy Dean crafts. From downtown, you're at his family's restaurant, Carson's Ribs.
Right.
Dean who calls. That's Dean Carson. Okay. I'm eating ribs. It's going to get all over.
Then you put a bib on. You go to one of those seafood in the bag places, you know, like up on, on Milwaukee, you know, where they throw everything in all the different kinds of seafood and the potatoes in the bag. Angry Crab. You go to Angry Crab.
Never been there.
Oh, dude. You go, oh, man. You get the bib on.
You got to have
the bib. Otherwise, it gets dangerous.
All right. What are the best and worst Thanksgiving Day sides? 312-332-3776. Johnny and Brandon and all of you. Coming up next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
All kidding aside, programmer Danny, our boss Keith, Evan, who does all our content stuff, Merkin, you guys had a high-level strategy session yesterday. If something goes down with Matt, seriously, we will be on Friday morning at 5 a.m. If it goes down Friday late in the day, we will be on Saturday, local, all day long. So make sure you're locked on ESPN 1000. We will have everything for you. We'll have the best analysts in the sports world, and you will get a chance to react. You won't just hear talking heads. We will want your opinions if the Bears do indeed make Mark Kunkel look like a genius.
It's the biggest news in the business, and we got you covered here on ESPN 1000 no matter what.
What are the best and worst Thanksgiving Day sides? A lot of people are tweeting in about Kugel. Danny, do you have Kugel? That's a Jewish delicacy on your Thanksgiving table?
Oh, yeah. My mom makes the world's greatest kugel. For those of you that have never had kugel.
Yeah, what's a kugel?
Imagine lasagna without the tomato sauce. So it's like noodles and cheese. Some people put raisins in. Some people don't.
Some people put cinnamon in.
You always put cinnamon. It's more like a sweet lasagna without the sauce.
Is it gooey like a mac and cheese consistency or like almost like a crusty kind of lasagna sort of bake?
It's firm, right? So like you bake it and it's firm. You pick it up and eat a piece of it.
Okay.
My mom, her trick was she would put frosted flakes on the top. Like, it was like a crust of frosted flakes. Oh, my God, was it good.
Like, when you do... So, the side that I've been making for a couple of years now, I'm a big Alton Brown fan, and I've been kind of tweaking the green bean casserole that I found Alton Brown cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know a lot of people don't like green bean casserole, but I do, and I like it, so I cook it, so shut up. But I've been tweaking it along the way, and I do the homemade... I fry... You know, you get the onions out of the can, right? The fried onions out of the can, and they're great. I make my own. Essentially, it comes out to making like homemade onion rings and throwing them down on top of the homemade from scratch, all from scratch, green bean casserole. That, I look forward to that every Thanksgiving.
So, there are so many, it's funny, like I'm not a kugel eater. My mom, like Danny's mom.
Cap, I want to point out real quick, almost in the last two segments, almost every food we've mentioned, you've said, I'm not into that. I'm not a kugel eater. I'm not a mac and cheese
gravy,
guy. I'm not a turkey person. Like, there are more things you don't like on Thanksgiving than things you do like.
Correct.
Well, you hate Thanksgiving. You're the Grinch of Thanksgiving.
No, I like the holiday and being together. Now, I got to work tomorrow, so we're going to eat later.
I don't like to be thankful.
I love Thanksgiving. I got to work tomorrow. I got Bears Post. And then we're going to eat later. Normally, we play games. We have Bloody Marys. We watch football. And then we eat like at 3 o'clock.
What's your perfect Thanksgiving plate? Like, what's on your plate when you're...
Mashed potatoes, corn, gravy, slice of the pineapple Jell-O, 3 slices of the beef tenderloin, a tiny little scoop of... My wife makes this cranberry,
like a relish.
It's got crushed up pretzels.
Yeah, so it's a relish.
Whipped cream,
sure.
Cherry, and that's about it. Because I might take a couple grapes from the green goop. I don't like stuffing. I don't like turkey. I don't like mac and cheese.
So, you'll go back for the same plate then over and over if you're doing multiple plates. You're not changing up. Your plate
I usually
mix.
Am a one plate guy.
You're a one plate Thanksgiving guy.
I might go back and get in a couple more slices of the steak.
You're
that's
a
it.
One plate Thanksgiving
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's amazing. I like making the small one plate so that I can have two or three, you know what I'm saying? Like two or three plates.
I go two or three big plates. I mean, if you're going to go Thanksgiving, you go big. But I don't fill my plate with the crap you guys do. You mentioned cranberries. I found this story this morning in Utah. This is a big thing. Cranberry and pickle pie.
I saw it. It looks horrific.
Would you eat it? I'm going to retweet it now. You can follow me at D. Zetterman. Cranberry and pickle pie.
Awful.
It looks disgusting.
Looks disgusting.
I mean, listen, I'm going to try everything. That's kind of my philosophy on food. But
hard
I do
pass.
Not. I have no high expectations for this.
Johnny on the north side. Hey, Johnny, what's up, man?
Cap, I agree with almost everything you said. And you know what? I've been listening for so many years. I can't believe it took me this long to call in. And it's not even about sports. It's about food. Macaroni and cheese absolutely does not belong on the table. Every single year, somebody's like, oh, so-and-so's making a new macaroni and cheese casserole. No, it's always the same garbage. It's awful.
It's the most overrated food in the history of food.
It's silly. It's silly is
it's
what
silly.
It is.
And
it,
you have two votes for that.
But, Cap, with
it's
lobster
you and him.
Tail, lobster tail used to be served to the prisoners back in the day. Lobsters are literally the cockroaches of the ocean.
That's what Danny said.
They are. It's just like diamonds. The only reason why people pay so much is because people pay so much for it. There's no other reason for it. It has no other value than people will pay for it.
Johnny, you're the greatest, man. Have a great holiday.
First Everybody all, have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe.
You too. See ya.
First of all, how is that
like
different
that
than
guy.
Any other? Of course you do. How is that different than any other commodity? Of course it's worth what people are willing to pay for it. The only reason lobsters, and Reed, consider the lobster if you're into this. The only reason lobsters were served to prisoners in Maine and New England when it started is because it was an abundant resource. They had got a lot of them, so they threw the lobsters at you. I mean, it was just, that's why it worked like that. Lobster is a delicacy, and maybe they can feel things, and that's going to change the stuff a little bit. But lobster is an amazing food and should be considered one of the highest forms of luxury in the land.
Hard pass.
The lobster is beautiful.
What are the best and worst Thanksgiving Day sides?
Plus, Yana Santetacumpo discovered a food trick that he says has changed his life. What are they? It's all coming up. 2 minutes.